That it's time, as we do at this time every week, to cross to the United States, where we're joined by behavioural scientist and psychologist Dr. Josh Klapo. And tonight we are talking about what can happen when your sports-obsessed partner becomes so obsessed with their particular sport that actually it begins to damage and negatively affect your relationship. So we welcome Dr. Josh to the show. Hi.
Hello.
Good. So here's the thing, is that I suppose we can take this in a very light-hearted way. And lots of people, of course, that are fans of sport and want to watch the game and want to watch it undisturbed. But there is a crossover point. And I have to say that I'm in my relationship history, the one of all the things I've done wrong, of which there are many, the one thing that I've done right is I've never picked anyone who's into sport, because I'm not into sport at all. And if I had to sort of play second fiddle to whether it be soccer or football or tennis or cricket, whatever relationship I was in, no matter how much I love that person, it would not last very long. It has to be said. So when does it become a problem?
So what I love and dread about this topic is when I start talking about it in the media, I get two very opposite responses.
Right.
I get tons of eye rolling and, you know, oh my God, the psychologist is just overanalyzing everything. Leave us alone. Mm. That's from the obsessed fans. Then from their significant others, I typically get, oh, thank goodness someone's actually bringing this up and talking about it. Because the people who go too far are the ones who rarely don't want to have the issue addressed. Mm. And the ones who are in those relationships, because we're talking about sports, it almost seems like something that's too silly, too ridiculous for us to say could be a real emotional problem. Mm. But, you know, look, we've all seen in our country, in your country, hundreds of examples of fans who have taken it way too far, to the point of violence, to the point of bodily harm, of death in some cases. I mean, and those are the absolute extremes. But if you dial it back and you go behind the closed doors, and it's the couple where one's watching the game and doesn't want to be interrupted. Now, on a much more personal level, you can have very significant relationship problems. Mm. Very significant.
One of the things that and we can get onto this a bit later, but I remember when I used to work in the UK, and whenever the Soccer World Cup would come around, we would get so many, and I used to work in the newsroom, we would get so many sort of press releases from domestic abuse charities and women's shelters saying, please let's talk about this. Because so often when the heightened emotion for sports fans, the heightened emotion and the disappointment if a team loses can lead to, you know, this anger. And the rate of domestic violence, there is a spike in domestic violence during big sports events, which to me seems extraordinary, but actually makes perfect sense.
Well, and is insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, let us all, and I'm a huge sports fan. So this is the idea that I am saying don't enjoy your sports, and even don't let yourself listen. One of the things that's so amazing about sports for us, for those of us who love it, is it's a sense of escape. It's a place where we can go in our heads and in our hearts, where we belong to a team, to a nation. We can do crazy things and yell and scream, and it's totally socially appropriate. So in that way, it's a wonderful emotional release. It is very appropriate. But when you cross it over and you say, well, you know, I just broke the television set, or I only put my hand through the door. Mm. Right there alone, you're saying you're taking it too far. And then you take it to the extreme and you say, well, I hurt my partner out of anger because either my team lost or what you typically hear is because she, in most cases, she interrupted me while my team was losing. That is not sports fans. That means you have an impulse control disorder. It also means, in some cases, that you are abusive, and that's not funny. So you, act crazy about sports. Don't hurt anybody. I mean, that is a typical, reasonable human request, and you see all these examples where we can't hold on to it.
Yeah. What makes somebody go from a fan to a fanatic, where it's a problem? Are some people, I mean, is it a case that the better your team does or the worse your team does, the more passionate or angry you are, you're likely to become about it? Or are some people just pre-programmed in that way? I mean, is it, if we lined up all the alcoholics in a town, are there likely to be some crazy sports fanatics among them too, and some, you know, some people who have gambling issues? And is it that addictive personality thing?
Well, so you do bring up a really good point, and kind of a dual diagnosis, or a, do you have some other problem? So on the one hand, yes, look, if you have things like impulse control problems, anger management issues, addictions and those kinds of things, then you already are predisposed to combine that with something like a passion for sports. So you can see that. But Sarah Jane, we see people who become sort of sports fanatics who aren't necessarily alcoholic, drug abusing, gambling, or anything like that. And it really comes down to the people who are at most risk are both people with other sorts of sort of impulse control disorders, like we just said, but also people for whom sports and association with the team comes to define who they are. So these tend to be people who are slightly more lonely, probably slightly less socially engaged in an emotional level. They may have friends, but not a whole lot of connection. And really what ends up happening is that connection to the team or to the sport starts defining their identity, which is fine if you are a player, although it can be dangerous. It's fine if you're employed. But if you're a fan, then you're becoming defined by something you have absolutely no control over. And that's where it can start slipping, and it can slip for people who need that kind of identity so much so that they don't get it from any other place.
You've written an article for Health Day, which I was reading earlier today, and I think what's so interesting is that you say in this article, it's not how much time you spend watching the particular sport, whether it's 10 hours a week or 40. The fact is the impact that it then has on real life and the obligations that you have in real life.
Oh, absolutely. Look, if you have a significant other, if you both like to watch sports, then if you watch it for 40 hours a week, short of maybe your job or other responsibilities, it's okay. But to bring up your point that you brought up in the very beginning of this segment, if you're watching 10 hours a week and your partner is asking you, excuse me, not to, or to maybe watch 5 hours a week because it's ruining the relationship, and you say, I don't care, now the 10 hours a week is a problem, that in and of itself. And yet, if your partner is watching it with you and they enjoy it, 10 hours is not a problem. So again, it's only the degree to which it interferes with other things in your life, whether that's your partner, whether that's your kids, whether that is your job, those kinds of things. And again, and you know, I can see, even though I can see people rolling their eyes, and yet I see it all the time. They miss appointments, they miss birthday parties, they're late to events, all because they're watching or engaged in their sport. Or if their team loses, they're depressed for a week. If their team's having a bad season, their mood is dictated by that. And you know, I challenge your listeners, how many people does that apply to? More than a few.
I'd like to ask that question. The time is 19 minutes to midnight. Are you somebody who is a sports fan, or do you suspect that you or your partner could be a sports fanatic? What are some of the lengths that you've gone to in your life to make sure that you haven't missed a game, or you haven't missed a match, or you've bought the football jersey, even though money might be a little bit tight at home, but you've gone out and you've spent that money anyway? I'd love to hear from you. And what impact do you think it is or has had? Perhaps you've lost a relationship as a result of your sports obsession. I'd love to hear from you. 021 446 0567. You can send me an SMS to 31567, and the WhatsApp is 0725671567. Are sports obsessions dangerous? Is it possible that your obsession with sport is damaging your relationship, or perhaps are you on the other side? Perhaps you are somebody whose partner is obsessed with sport, and you feel that you, the rest of the family, are taking something of a back seat when it comes to their sports obsessions. Let's just talk about some of those that the behaviours that would signal that you are moving towards being sort of losing the grip on reality, I guess. Like what are some of the signals that go from where, yeah, you know, my other half likes to watch a bit of soccer every now and again, or he follows a particular team, and geez, this is getting out of control.
Well, so I'm going to say these, but I want to preface it with just having one or two, or it only happening once or twice, again, like a physical symptom or even a psychiatric symptom. That's not a big deal. It's more if this defines you. So things like, while you're watching your game, if somebody interrupts your watching, it's not that you're just annoyed, because we all get annoyed if somebody interrupts something watching. You're agitated. You're irritated. You may yell at them. You may snap at them, and you do that pretty regularly. That's the first one. Second one, your team loses or they're having a bad season, and you can't lift your mood. I mean, you're a wreck because they've lost, not just in the moment, but for days, till the next game, until something good happens. It dictates your mood. That's another one. You start missing events, family or life events. You know, and I'm not talking about calling in sick to work because there's a championship game on. I'm talking about maybe missing one of your child's events, missing an important event, those kinds of things. Getting physically violent. You know, it's one thing if there's a bad play, you slam your hand down. But what if you put your hand through the table? Mm-hmm. What if you break something? What if you hurt somebody? What if you kick an animal or a pet? And then the final one is, do people start backing off of you? Do they start not wanting to watch with you? Do they tell you you might want to dial it back a little bit? If those things are going on, Sarah Jane, and that kind of describes you or your partner, then what it's saying is you've taken this really good thing, and to your description perfectly, you've lost a grip on the good part, and you're moving towards the bad part. And all it takes is a few people like that, and you put them in a stadium, and you have a bad call or a bad play, and as you all have experienced in your country and we've experienced in ours, that can result in lots of bodily harm. Throw a little bit of alcohol on top of it, and it can be deadly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Damon's messaged in and says, what about fanatical parents at kids' sporting events? I think that is a really good point. I've seen, I've seen madness happen at the side of a football pitch at a kid's school, like fathers generally going in on each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's madness. It's your child.
Yeah,
I suppose that's a whole other. Yeah, that's a whole other.
No, but I'll tell you where the parallel is. The parallel is this loss of self. So the fanatic, the obsessive fan, begins to define themselves by their team. The obsessive or fanatic parent starts defining their self-worth by their child's success or failure. This is the living through your children. And so in that way, in both cases, they lose themselves. And now it's no longer about my kid. My self-worth, my ego, my dignity is all riding on how well or how poorly my son or daughter does. Mm. And when you got that much riding on it, plus you can add in all the things I never amounted to, what I wanted to, blah, blah, blah. Mm, mm. Now you got crazy parents. And yes, to your listener, crazy parents at youth sporting events are as damaging in a different way as fanatic sports fans, just in a different way.
Mm, mm. So once we've identified and that there is a problem, what can be done about it? And I guess like any addiction, there are two sides to come from. There's the side of the person for whom it is an addiction, and then there's the help that is needed for the people who can't do anything about that person's addiction, but can do something for themselves. So let's start with the sports fanatic. If you are willing to get help, what are some of the sort of the tips, the tricks, maybe the behaviors, the patterns that you can, or the tools, should I say, the tools that you can use to mitigate damage, further damage?
So the first is, and you said it, and it's a little cliche, but it's very true. You know, admit that you have a problem.
Mm.
And this is really hard with sports fanatics.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because almost more so than drugs and alcohol. It's more socially accepted.
It's not going to kill you.
What do you mean I have a problem? I'm just watching the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So again, what I tell people is, look, if people have backed off of you, if people are sort of saying you need to tone it down, the natural response, much like an addict where you say, you know, you need to cut down a little bit, I don't have a problem.
Mm.
Well, start paying attention to that. The second thing is try it on your own. And what I mean by that is, well, I'm not telling anybody to not watch, not go to the games, but more than anything else, pay attention to what other people are saying about you or to you. Also, pay attention to your mood. Can you have a bad experience or a good experience with your team and then find something else in addition to your team that elevates your mood or brings your mood down? Basically, don't put all your eggs, your emotional eggs, in the basket of your team alone. Look for other things in your life. Again, it's an idea of moderation.
Mm.
What I would say, though, is if you try that and you really can't manage that, then the problem is not just a sports addiction or fanatic problem, Sarah Jane. It's a problem with your own impulse control, with your own identity. And so seeing a mental health professional, you're not really seeing them because you have a sports addiction.
Yeah.
You're seeing them because you can't manage your own emotions. And that's very serious.
Mm. Mm. There we go. I hope that has been some help for those of you who perhaps you're sitting there now and you're thinking, oh, you know what? Actually, this sounds like me. That was my thing when I realized that, you know, my addictions were when I heard somebody describing me and I thought, eesh, that's me. That was the thing. It wasn't that I really woke up one day and thought, oh, this is a bit of a problem. It was when I heard somebody, you know, and I had to really go through, you know, and you've given that checklist of things, that behaviors to watch out for. And I think that's important. Before we let you go though, Josh, what about for the partners or for the families? What is there to do? Because it's all well and good to say, well, if that was my partner, I'd just leave. That's not always possible, and it's drastic behavior. So what
I would say, number one thing that partners don't do is, because it's a socially sanctioned behavior, partners don't set boundaries. They don't communicate. They get mad. They get frustrated. They don't say much. And so what I would say to partners is, number one, you need to have that conversation with your significant other, not while they're watching the game, but in a calm time. You need to have that conversation, A. B, be prepared for them to roll their eyes. Be prepared for them to say, are you kidding me? I don't have a problem. But hold your ground. And what I mean by that is to say, this is affecting our relationship. Whether you think you have a problem or not, whether it is a problem, quote unquote, or not, the amount of time that you're spending and your behavior in the way that you watch and interact with that game is affecting me and our relationship. And while I don't recommend giving an ultimatum on day one, you need to plant the seed that if they continue and they don't just dial it back a little bit and compromise, that it is ruining your relationship. And let me tell you, for some couples, that's all it takes, is that wake-up call of, wow, I really didn't realize it's that bad, and all I need to do is just dial it back. So stay on message, speak up, be prepared for defensiveness, but recognize that it's your life too, and that a sport is no exception to ruin a relationship, particularly if this is someone watching the sport, not playing the sport as their profession.
Yeah, that is a good point. That's a really interesting point. Dr. Josh, always great to chat, and we will do so again next week.
Thank you, Sarah Jane.